In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Holy Scripture is full of stories of incredible things the grace of God accomplishes through men and women when they look to God and put their trust in Him amidst the stormy seas of life. Today we read of the image of Peter walking on the water amidst the rough seas, and it's one that we all recall often, even with one another, as we face various trials in our lives. Regardless of the cares put at our feet, whether we're struggling to find our way in life amid the complexities of a fallen world, or dealing with anxieties and stresses within our families, or being overwhelmed by the sheer number of things that happen in modern life, or what have you, if we keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and continue to move forward towards Him in all things, there is nothing that is impossible for us to accomplish, which is the very reason such an astonishing miracle, right, is placed in the Holy Gospel. But despite our best efforts, there are times when the storms of life become so massive and distracting that they keep us from keeping our eyes fixed on Christ. This is what happened to Peter in today's gospel. He started off strong, and he was bold in his faith. Lord, if it is you, command me to come out into the water. Everything was going well until he became distracted, lost his focus, and began to sink. Then came the pleas, Lord, save me. This is our cry, too, when the sea of life, raging with storms of temptations and trials, becomes too much for us. And like Peter, we wait for the Lord to offer a hand to pull us out of the water. You know, the church has several other stories about the miracle of walking on water. We know that St. Mary of Egypt walked across the Jordan River as if it were a dry path. And we have numerous stories of others doing the same thing. But today I'd like to bring to mind a different story of walking on water from the history of the church. This story began at a time when it was illegal to own or use icons in worship. Those who venerated the icons and prayed with them and loved them were subject to having imperial soldiers enter their homes, destroy all traces of the icons, and then punish the ones who were using them. In the city of Nicaea, there was a pious widow who owned a beautiful icon of the Mother of God that her family cherished. When the guards found out about it, they went to her home to take it away. However, being the corrupt soldiers that they were, they accepted a bribe from the widow to allow the icon to remain in the home for just one more day. Yet, when leaving the house, one of the soldiers took out his spear and thrust it at the icon in an act of defiance, striking the cheek of the Theotokos, which, miraculously, slowly began to bleed. The widow and her son, who also witnessed the event, were both astonished. The event had a profound effect on them. It emboldened them in their faith. In the midst of their trial and despair, they'd been given strength. That night, disregarding the warnings of the guards, they took the icon to the seashore and threw it out into the water to at least save it from falling into government hands. They watched the icon float on the surface of the sea and out into deep water. Now its fate was in God's hands. Shortly after this event, the widow passed on to eternal life. Her son, however, was so strengthened in his faith by what he had seen that he became a monk, and he went to live the rest of his days on Mount Athos at Ivaron Monastery, where he shared with the other brothers the story of the miraculous icon. The miracle was first chronicled in the mid-800s in the records of Yverdon Monastery. And the story was remembered there for over 150 years until April of the year 1004, when, as we read in the monastic records, one morning, the monks of Yverdon Monastery noticed a strange pillar of light streaking up towards the sky from the sea. If you've ever been to that monastery, you know that it sits right off the sea along the northern coast of the Holy Mountain. As the monks went to the beach for a closer look at this light, they saw, floating not so far out at sea, an icon of the Mother of God, beaming forth light. They made several attempts to retrieve the icon with their boats. But then the monks began to get discouraged because every time they rowed near to Holy Mary, she would float away, remaining just a little bit out of their reach. Now, at this time, there was a Georgian man, an elder, who lived at the monastery, a man, a monk named Gabriel. He was very pious and a strict ascetic. One of those nights, the elder had a vision of the Mother of God. She appeared to him and said to him, "Tell the abbot and the monks of the monastery that I am giving them my icon for their help and protection. But first, you enter the sea yourself, walk out on the waves to the icon, and bring it back. In this way, everyone will know my goodwill and good pleasure for the monastery. I've chosen you because you bear the name of the archangel of my Annunciation, Gabriel. Therefore, you shall retrieve my icon." So the next morning, the old man Gabriel, with a reverent spirit, entered the sea, not walking exactly, but because of his age, on his knees. And to the astonishment of everyone present, rather than sinking to the bottom, he began to crawl across the surface of the water toward the blessed icon. Once he reached it, Gabriel took it into his arms and crawled back to the shore, where the monks met him with great joy and childlike shouts. In fact, after receiving the icon and the encouraging message from the Mother of God, the monastery spent 3 days and nights hymning her praises and offering their supplications. The Mother of God, brothers and sisters, has never broken her promise to Yverdon Monastery. For even today, more than 1,000 years later, the icon still hangs in a chapel near the monastery gates. It's now referred to as the portaitissa, the gatekeeper, that is, the guardian, so to speak, not only of Yverdon, but of the whole Holy Mountain. And the icon has been the source of many miracles down through the centuries. Even copies of the icon have brought forth tremendous grace, the likes of which many of us in this room have seen with our own eyes. For it was a copy of this miraculous icon that one day, not so many years ago, began to weep in the home of a faithful family in Hawaii. That copy of the original icon is now revered around the world as well as the myrrh-streaming Hawaii Yverdon icon of the Mother of God. So, the blessing given to that monastery 1,000 years ago continues to bless the church today. Amazing. And don't forget, that blessing followed 2 centuries of the icon floating unknown in the sea. Truly, in the church, 1,000 years are as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. And truly, the Mother of God is and remains with us, struggling with us, strengthening and encouraging the church. It's good to remember that during this Dormition Fast, and to lean into her care for us. But behind and above even that, miracles like these, which we can see with our own eyes and feel with our own hearts, are an extension of the hand of our Lord Himself, reaching out to us amidst the surging sea of life to encourage us and to keep us from falling. The Lord promises His church, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Brothers and sisters, this is a promise we can take to the bank. Reach out to the Lord, and He will sustain you on the waves. Brothers and sisters, He is with us this morning in the Holy Chalice to do exactly that, providing His faithfulness, proving His faithfulness and His love for us. Of course, if you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. In other words, the Lord sustains those walking by faith. So let us walk by faith amidst our trials, giving thanks to the Lord for His mighty hand, and rejoicing in our trials that His Holy Mother and all the saints are present here, struggling alongside with us as well. Amen.